Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
There are many different roads that, at our choice, that we can pursue, different ways of life, of some of the things that are expected of us who are Christians as to the kind of life we're supposed to live and the kind of life we're to walk. But as we live day by day, we are constantly confronted with the necessity of making choices as to what we will do in this particular matter or that particular matter. And it all comes together to form a certain way in which we live. And I think that the Scripture would teach us that we can generally classify the ways open unto us under two major categories. One of these categories is described in a variety of ways in Scripture. Jeremiah described it as the good way. Christ spoke of the straight and narrow way. Peter spoke of the way of righteousness and the right way. Paul talked about the more excellent way. Isaiah the prophet spoke of the way of holiness. Jesus spoke of the way of God and emphasized that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then the other way, in contrast to that, the psalmist spoke of the way of sinners. And Christ spoke of the wide and the broad way that leadeth unto death. In the book of James, we read about the way of death. The book of Proverbs talks about the way to hell. The psalmist speaks of the false way. Now, there are these two contrasting ways, and this latter, an evil way, is also spoken of in a very unique fashion from the book of Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15, when the writer said, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard." There's the way of the transgressor. Inspiration tells us that way is hard. Now, who is a transgressor? Well, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 tells us that sin is a transgression of the law. That's cutting across. That's a violation of the law. Of course, that's the law of God of which it speaks. And those who sin have violated divine authority and divine law. And this is something that we all have done at one time or another, if we be responsible and accountable people, because Paul tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, how is it that we sin? Why, we sin as a result of being tempted to sin. We're tempted of our own lust, and we are enticed. And this is the way we sin, through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, John tells us. These are the avenues of approach that the devil will make with various and sundry influences to cause us to transgress the will of God. And when we transgress, we need to keep in mind that God says the way of the transgressor is hard. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17, we learn that all unrighteousness is sin. In the last few verses of the book of Romans, we learn that the violation of our conscience is to sin. When we do that, which we think is wrong, and just go ahead and do it, we're not even being honest with ourselves. Sometimes people do things that are not wrong in themselves, but they think it's wrong, and when you do that which you think is wrong, even if it is not wrong, you are wrong for having done it, because you violated your conscience. And then again, James tells us in the 4th chapter in the 17th verse, the failure to do good, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So there are various ways that we can become transgressors. But knowing how we sin and how we are tempted is one thing. But a very puzzling question, puzzling to all of us, why do we sin? Realizing that the wages of sin is death and that the way of transgressors is hard, why do we sin? The Bible speaks of how some sin through ignorance. They just really don't know better. And therefore, they do that which they ought not. Now, they're just as guilty. They have sinned, but they've done it out of ignorance. Others sin out of weakness. And this possibly accounts for other violations of many of us. We're drawn away of our own lust and enticed, and not having built sufficient resistance to resist the devil and his influences. We succumb to the moment, and therefore we violate God's law. And then there's a terrible and tragic way, not that any of the others are to be minimized, but a way of sinning that is most difficult to get people to turn around. And that is when people sin out of rebellion. Hebrews 10 and verse 26. They defy God. They arrogantly stand and stoutly against God. They're going to do what they want to do, regardless of the will of God. Now that's rebellion. That's defiance. Many people sin in that fashion. But friend, however it is that we sin, however it is that we might have been tempted to sin, let's keep in mind this teaching. The way of transgressors is hard. Now, the devil would not have you to think so. This is a loving word and warning from God, but the devil would have us to ignore that. The devil would show to us that sin brings wealth, and it might bring pleasure and even fame and possibly power. And the evildoer, so many times in this world, as the Bible points out, does seemingly have an abundance of many things in this life, and they have what they call the good time. And we mentioned even this morning in Hebrews chapter 11, while it makes it obvious, God recognizes that sin has its appeal because it can bring temporary, deceptive, fleeting pleasure and sin and apparent worldly prosperity. But the sin is much like walking across a lake on very thin ice. It seems to be sufficient. It seems to be adequate. It seems to be one thing until it breaks and you plunge to your death. And so it is with the deception of sin. The wages of sin is ultimate death. Moses warned some of the tribes of the people of Israel of a great principle that is true in every dispensation. And dear people, it is true unto us tonight as well. Be sure your sin will find you out. For we are not going to be able to hide our sin from God. We may well be able to hide it from others, but never from God. And then there's that law of sowing and reaping of which we are so familiar. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now he said, if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. So the way of the transgressor is hard. Now this point, I think, must be brought out. Not all hardship that comes in the course of a person's life is due to one's own personal sins. Now, all hardship in this world is due to sin being in the world. But every hardship that you might have or that I might encounter in life is not necessarily due to our own transgressions, because sometimes people suffer because of the sins of others. We're aware of this. Children often suffer because of the transgression of their parents. Wives suffer because of husbands and vice versa. Parents suffer because of the misbehavior and the sinfulness of their children. Many people are victimized because of the transgressions of morality and right in the lives of other people. Some hardship comes to us in life simply because, and this is hard for a lot of people to grasp because they too often blame God, and they ought not, it's simply because of where we live. That is, on this earth. That we're human beings. The Apostle Paul speaks of those things that such as are common to man. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. There are many things, no doubt, that many people in your family, even you yourself, you've suffered. Maybe illness, maybe death, maybe losses of all kinds, various heartaches and tragedies. It's not necessarily because of your personal transgression, but it's because somebody ran a red light. It's because you twisted your ankle as you stepped off the curb. Those things are just common to life. You know, in the book of Luke, Christ pointed out how that those upon whom the Tower of Siloam had fallen, he said, you think it's because they were worse than all the rest of the people round about? No, that wasn't it. It was just an event that's characteristic of human existence. There were others whom Pilate had slain while they were offering sacrifices, but it wasn't because they were worse than other people. In fact, in John the 9th chapter, one time Jesus saw a blind man and his disciples said, "Who sinned because this man was born blind? Was it him? Was it his parents?" Jesus said, "It wasn't either one." Those things are just characteristic sometimes of human existence, and we make a mistake as to raise the question, well, why does God treat me this way? Why did God allow this to happen to me? What evil have I done to deserve this? For what is He punishing me? Well, it may not be that at all. It may not be that at all. It may simply be because it's some of those things that are common to the existence of the human being who lives in a world where sin has been turned loose. And all hardships that we suffer are a result of the overall causes of sin in this world, but not necessarily always because of one's personal sin. You know, even being godly can cause you hardship. "Why, the righteous shall suffer persecution," the Apostle Paul has warned in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. You read in the Old Testament account of the man Job. He suffered. He was being tempted. He was being tried. It wasn't because he was being punished for any evil that he had done. But sometimes people suffer, and certainly this is that which the book of Proverbs must have reference. When it talks about the way of transgressors is hard, people suffer because of their own self-imposed hardship due to their own sins. And this is that which we want to concentrate upon tonight and think about. This self-imposed hardship that we could have avoided, that need not be, but we have made it hard on ourselves because we either did not know or would not listen and would not follow the way that God has explained to us and pled with us to walk. And as a result, we brought hardship upon us. Let's just look at a few examples in the Old Testament as well as the New, and you'll understand this readily. Let's go all the way back to the beginning, to Adam and Eve. God created them. They created in a world of sinlessness. They gave them a garden in which to live. All the provisions were there. They had the responsibility simply to keep and to enjoy that garden. Only one thing was forbidden. They were not to eat of the tree of good and evil. Now, why was that? It's because when we understand the Bible teaches that man was created to glorify God, man had to have a choice to be able to not glorify God in order to make the choice to glorify God. We could not glorify God if it was such that we couldn't do anything else other than glorify God. That would bring no glory at all. God didn't make us a robot. God made us free moral agents, agents of choice. And He gave the possibility of one not glorifying God, if that's what they chose, and that's what Adam and Eve chose, unfortunately. Being tempted of Satan, they disobeyed God. Well, did it make a difference? Well, it's made a difference to all humanity since then. But it made a difference immediately upon them, too. They were driven from the garden. They were cursed with the prospect of sorrow. They were warned that they would have pain. There would be obstacles before them, even in being able to provide for their own livelihood. Ask Adam and Eve, is the book of Proverbs right when it tells us that the way of transgressors is hard? And then focus attention upon their son Cain, the first murderer. Now, when we're first introduced to Cain, we see him as a worshiper. But he, like many living even now, decided he would worship his way rather than God's way. Friend, right at the very beginning of the Bible, we learn that God expects man to worship Him, but God also teaches us that God does not leave it up to man to decide how to worship God. And the presumptuousness on the part of people today to engage in this and do that and want to follow this because they like it, this is what they want, this is what their tradition might call for, and never consult, well, what does God want? Right at the outset of the Word of God, we learn we must worship God, but we must worship Him, as Christ taught, in spirit and in truth. And we have to do what God said. Well, he decided to go his own way. Now, Abel, on the other hand, he did what he did by faith, Since faith cometh by hearing the word of God, we know that God instructed them what to do, and Abel did as he was instructed. Cain decided not to. God accepted Abel's sacrifice. He rejected Cain's offerings, and Cain became jealous. His jealousy led to his anger. His anger led to hatred. And his hatred took him to murder, and then he even pretended that he didn't even know what happened to Abel. God came and said, "Where's Abel?" "Well, I don't know," paraphrasing. "Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, right at the start, we learn, yes, indeed, we are. We are responsible for one another. We do have an obligation to one another. He tried to feign ignorance and innocence, but God saw through that, and he pronounced a curse upon him, and it wasn't very long before Cain said, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Let me ask you something, Mr. Cain. What do you think about the proverb in 13, verse 15? "The way of transgressors is hard." He confirms the truth of that, does he not? And then when you come and look at the history of the people of God, the people of Israel, there are so many, many events in their existence that illustrates this truth. Cite but one. That after God had given the law of Moses at Mount Sinai, they came to the southern borders of the promised land of Canaan. They could have taken the land at that point in time. Moses sent 12 spies into the land to spy out the land. They came back. 10 spies brought up an evil report. Faithless, cowardless. They said, "We can't do it." Of course, Joshua and Caleb said that they could, but the 10 said they couldn't, and the people listened to the majority. So many times when you listen to the majority, you're on the wrong path anyway. They listened to the majority of the spies. And God says, because of your faithlessness, because you would not obey my voice, you are going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. 1 year for every day the spies had been gone. Well, when they heard that, they said, "Oh, that's too heavy, that's too hard. We believe we better go ahead and take it." And he said, "No, don't you try it now." But they tried it anyway and were defeated and driven back. And they had to wander in that wilderness for 40 years to the point that everybody that was 20 years old and older died in that wilderness except for Joshua and Caleb. And oh, how they murmured and how they complained and how they suffered. Ask them, is the way of the transgressor hard? Do you remember the man named Achan? Think back now in your Bible stories and your Bible knowledge. Achan was an Israelite that was permitted to cross the Jordan River with Joshua now at the helm. And to be among those that saw the walls of Jericho fall down by faith after they had encircled them the times that God had directed. And Achan, along with the rest of the Israelites, heard the instruction, "Now the spoils of the city, don't take them. They're not yours. They belong to God. Put them into God's treasury." Achan decided, however, when he saw the gold, he saw the fine things, he saw the linens, he saw all the other things, he took some to himself. And he went and dug a hole and buried him in his tent and thought, "Boy, I've covered up my sin real good and I've got something nobody else does." Well, it wasn't long. The Israelites went up to Ai, a little old city, didn't even send a full force up there to defeat it. Then they were soundly thrashed and had to retreat. And Joshua said, "God, what's wrong?" And God said, "Here's what's wrong. There's sin in the camp." And he told him what was wrong, and he told him how to find out who was wrong. And they finally, to abbreviate the story tonight, they located Achan. They took him out and they stoned him and they burned him, he and all of his. Mr. Achan, what about this proverb? "The way of the transgressor is hard." And you could not find a better illustration of this and a demonstration of this than in the life of David. The man who in his early years was called the man after God's own heart, raised from a shepherd to be the great and marvelous king of Israel, blessed with every kind of provision and material blessing you could think of, with ultimate power and fame. And yet he lusted after Bathsheba and committed adultery with her. And then he heaped sin atop sin, trying to lie his way out, trying to pretend his way out, trying to connive his way out, finally conspiring in a way to commit murder to get his way out. But his sin found him out when the prophet Nathan came in and told him a parable that condemned David, and he pointed to him and he said, "Thou art the man." David had sinned. And as a result, though God forgave him, now this is significant, though God forgave him, he would suffer because of that transgression all the rest of the days of his life and from within his own flesh and blood. The child that was conceived by Bathsheba died. One of his sons, Ammon, ravished his daughter Tamar. Absalom, who was the full brother of Tamar, harbored vengeance against Ammon and later killed Ammon. You just think about this family strife and turmoil that David was suffering. Absalom later led a revolt against David, and Absalom was killed by David's own warriors. Adonijah, an older son, also tried to raise a rebellion. Repeatedly from within his own family, he suffered throughout the remaining days of his life. Was his sin worth it? Ask him. And you read in the Psalms of some of the great mournings of David and the penitent spirit of David and the seeking of forgiveness and the hardship and transgression he suffered. He underscores in confirmation a truth that we need to learn and avoid. The way of transgressors is hard. You could repeat as many as I could about the New Testament examples of these things, and just think about the one in the New Testament about Judas. In my own heart, I find it very difficult to find a warm spot in my heart for a man or one like him. To my mind, there's hardly anybody that is much lower than a person who would deliberately, for his own benefit and gain, betray a friend, especially an innocent one. You just can't hardly find a person that's more reprehensible and despicable than that. And yet, that's the kind of person Judas was. And for what? 30 pieces of silver. We say that Judas sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver. That's right. A lot of people are selling their souls for various and sundry prices today. Maybe not that which is of as much value as even 30 pieces of silver. Maybe just for pleasure, so they can get ahead in this world. People sell their souls for so many things, and it's a tragic thing. But the sad thing about Judas is, after doing his deed, he could have turned back to the Lord, just like Peter did after Peter had denied him three times. Peter did come back to the Lord, but Judas didn't. He went out and hanged himself. Oh, he was sorry for his deed. Sorry things hadn't gone like doubtless he had thought that they would. Well, sorry that he got caught in the tragic thing in which he involved himself. Ask him, as he makes his way out to hang himself and take his own life and be doomed and damned eternally in the fires of hell, what about Proverbs 13:15? The way of transgressors is hard. Such distress of soul, such guilt of conscience, that's what drove him to do what he did. Oh, my dear people, all of these things tell us that there's no use of bringing those self-imposed hardships upon ourselves. Will we be wise enough to profit from what the Bible tells of their mistakes? Now, just a few up-to-date 20th century applications. Those who get drunk on alcoholic beverages, they suffer. Sometimes they suffer physically, suffer mentally, suffer emotionally, suffer financially. Just about every way a human being can suffer, it can be brought on him by the consumption of alcoholic beverages. Who forced it down his throat? Oh, I know that maybe father and mother set the example before them. I read the other day an article in the National Geographic magazine how that so many alcoholics come from homes of alcoholics. It's not because they were made alcoholics, not because they were born alcoholics, is because they took up drinking like their alcoholic parents that they became alcoholics. That's the way in which alcoholism is inherited, by following the evil paths of their parents before them. The way of the drunkard is hard, and we all know that. We hear so much today about those who are sexually immoral and being diseased with first one thing or another. All kinds of crises and hardships being brought upon in their lives. Why? It's because the way of transgressors is hard. It's self-imposed. Here's a thief serving time in the penitentiary. Who put him there? He put himself there. Why? He chose to violate God's law. He chose to violate man's law. He brought it on himself. Ask him as he sits up there and rots in that cell day after day and week after week and year after year. And he doesn't even have the things that he stole. What about the way of the transgressor? Let me tell you, people, the way of the transgressor is hard. If you don't believe it, just go down here to the county jail. Visit with them. Talk with them. I have. Some of you have. Can there be any question as to the truthfulness of this warning of grace that God has given us to tell us about the way of the transgressor, the liar, the cheat? The pathway is hard, and many of these things are one's own fault. And that is not said with any lessening of compassion for them, pity for them, grief over their plight in life. It's the face of reality, however. It need not have been if they would listen to what the book of Proverbs is telling us here in just the latter part of this one verse. We have so many social programs today, governmental programs, all kind of programs to help people do better, finding themselves in depressed circumstances. Some of these are not self-imposed. Some of these are hardships that are common to life. Some of these are due to the faults of others. But some of them are the consequences of because they are own following the ways of the devil. And there's nothing that you can do and I can do and the government can do or anybody else can do that's going to eradicate the consequences of the way of the transgressor. And why do we bring these to our attention? We don't want to go that way. You don't want your children to go that way. You don't want your friends and neighbors to go that way. And God warns us of that way. There's no need for us to go that way. It's just amazing, isn't it? Here we see the road that is open to us and the devil beckoning us on. And God says, don't go. God says, lift up your eyes and look down the road and see beyond it and see the ultimate consequences. Then why should anybody of reasonable intelligence go on that way anyway? And then down the line somewhere say, oh, I wish it wasn't like this. Somebody relieve me. Well, friend, there are some consequences of one's own transgressions that there's not a person on this face of the earth can relieve you from it. Who's going to relieve the sexually immoral from AIDS? Who's going to relieve the drunkard from all the consequences of that? And the thief? There's nobody that can. We're concerned about these self-imposed hardships in this life, but let me tell you something, and this is the lining around the cloud. The Lord is concerned about this. And even though many hardships of the way of the transgressor cannot be eradicated or relieved by anybody, there is something from which we can have relief, and that's the burden of guilt. Oh no, we're guilty when we transgress. We're guilty, but the burden of that guilt can be lifted from us. And there's only one that can do that. And God has provided the way for that, and that's through Jesus Christ and being washed clean by His blood. Hardship due to our sins, it may well follow us to our grave. Just like a person goes out here and maybe he cuts his arm or he breaks his leg or he wounds himself in some way, and the scars of that and the consequences of that, he may go to the funeral home with that. But the guilt of sin, we don't have to take forward with us, not even another day. Let alone before God in judgment and into eternity. And why is that? Well, even though we may regret, and we're reminded of regret because of consequences of sin, We can rejoice that God forgives us. We can't bear the burden of guilt successfully. Other burdens, we can bear them. Even though they've been self-imposed, we can bear them with the help of Christ. But guilt, nobody can carry. But it can be eradicated. It can be washed away. That is the good news of the gospel of Christ. I think we can summarize what I'm trying to say tonight this way. There's no question. The Bible teaches, experience shows, the way of transgressors is hard. That's not only in this life. But friend, the way of the unforgiven transgressor will be hard through all eternity. But on the other hand, though, the way in this life of the transgressor may well be very hard. The way of the forgiven transgressor, it can be a way of glory. It can be a way of peace. It can be a way of joy. It can be the way of reward. It can be the way of righteousness and the way of holiness. Because you see, God loved us sufficiently to provide His Son and allow His Son to die on the cross in our stead, to take away our guilt, providing the soul-cleansing blood. And when we reach that blood, the guilt of sin is gone, and we stand acceptable before God. How do we reach this blood? We believing in Christ as the Son of God, repenting and turning from sin and turning to the Lord, confessing our faith in Christ and being baptized into Christ, which is that point in God's plan where God applies the blood of Christ spiritually to our souls and we are raised to walk in newness of life. Ah, yes. We may limp throughout life because of many of the consequences of our transgressions, and we may impressed upon us repeatedly the way of the transgressor is hard. But we can know that all is right with us and God, and when this life is over, heaven will be our home, and that is the most important of all, is it not? Not only from the Bible, but from your own experience, the way of transgressor is hard, but the way of the transgressor can be forgiven, and it can be a time of glory.